Well, hello once again and welcome. Welcome to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast here on the Just Jesus Network. Oh, what a joy it is. What a blessing it is indeed. Welcome to one and all. You know, I have this time slot every Saturday, 9 a.m., right here on the Just Jesus Network. Oh, and I love the time slot, really. Because, you know, people early in the morning, well, not that early, around 9 o'clock. So, you know, people are just in the midst of their morning, maybe having their second cup of coffee, what have you, that sort of thing. Well, I pray, you know, that you have been tuning in regular to this broadcast, and not just this, but everything that's on the Just Jesus Network. Oh, the music. I'll tell you, I've never enjoyed so much Christian music as I have since I've been tuning in to the Just Jesus Network. They play all my favorites. They play the new ones. They play the oldies. I mean, and they have some mighty fine preachers out there. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes. I must take the time to listen more often. You see, I work a lot of night shift, and I can't have my computer and what I need to hear the network all the time. But I sure do enjoy it when I do have that opportunity. You know, I take this opportunity because God has blessed me. He really has blessed me, and He's laid on my heart so much. I just have to share it. So I welcome your feedback. Not that I might be lifted up. Oh, no, 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 no. Not in any way. But that you might be encouraged and blessed. And for this reason, I give praise and thanks to our great God in Jesus Christ in His mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, are you ready? That title I've given my message today. The red herring effect. The red herring effect. You know what a red herring is, do you? Well, stay tuned. You'll know what it is before I'm finished. Okay. You know, it really doesn't matter how well versed we are about the Bible. There will always be questions that you don't expect someone to ask you. This is why preparation by God's people is so essential. We must always expect those red herring questions. Where did that come from? How am I going to answer this? Excuse me for a minute. I got to go around the corner and pray. You know what I'm saying, eh? They hit you with these sonkers. Oh, yes. And that's why we as believers must be prepared. One of my non-favorites. Oh, I got to run this by you. One of my non-favorites. Are you ready? Here it comes. This question will drive you out of your mind. You hear it so often. Can God do everything? Can God do everything? Well, the simple response is, well, yes, God can do everything. Okay, here it comes. Well, can God make a rock so big He can't lift it? Can God make a rock so big He can't lift it? And the first thing that comes to mind, what is it? I mean, besides you wanting to give Him a Joe Louis aside the head, the first thing that comes to my mind is, oh, they are so lost. They are so lost. They are so out of the picture. But don't ever shun them. Don't ever shun them. Jesus may have sent you there to that very person at that very time, precisely to give them the gospel. So talk to them. Talk to them. That's the least you can do, isn't it? In your talk, try to separate them from the midst of their situation, you know. One-on-one, you know, can we go have a cup of tea or a coffee or something and ask him or her? Well, ask for God's wisdom first and God's intervention. You're going to need it. Oh, yes. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, you still need to say the right thing at the right time to the ears that are open at that specific moment. Nothing long, but say a short silent prayer first. Okay? Now remember, the staying power of a lost sinner, well, when being witnessed to, it's oh so brief. So brief indeed. Next, always have a pocket-sized New Testament within your reach, in your pocket. Carry one around everywhere you go. You may need it. It certainly will help. I say, as I used to say in the Army, be armed and ready. Always be armed and ready. Now, this may be the only chance you'll have to lead another precious soul to Jesus. You don't know. You don't know where they're going yet. Now, there are different ways of preparing a lost sinner's heart. Right? Sure there is. But the best way is always the Bible way. The Bible way. And to me, well, that Bible is the King James Authorized 1611 version. I hope you use the same Bible too. You know, there are a lot of Bibles out there, so-called Bibles. Over 100 last count. And every one of them is a little different or a whole lot different. Now, always use the Bible for witnessing to lost souls. Always. Firstly, you might want to briefly explain and why you, me, I, became a Christian. Tell them. Keep this story short. I don't lose their interest now. But, you know, give them that hard stuff. All right? I was down and out. You know what I mean? Sure. I gave my life up to Christ. I was on my knees pleading. Sure. Give the real hard stuff. Next, tell them why the Bible was written. Simply stated, John 20, verse 31 clearly states why the Bible was written, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Oh, that's not too hard to remember, is it? But have it marked in your Bible so you can go right to it. Okay? Then make it clear that not everyone will at first understand, and that's why we need to pray for understanding. You see, a lot of people read the Bible and say, I read it over and over. I can't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. Well, see, that's where prayer comes in. Prayer preceding the reading of the Scriptures. You should do it every time. It opens your heart and your mind to the light of the Scripture. Prayer must always precede witnessing. 1 Corinthians tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they are foolishness unto him. So if you come on with a blunt force, well, you could lose them. Just lose them before you even get a chance to dig in a little bit. At the outset, it can be difficult for the natural man to believe in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That can be difficult. However, and this is of the utmost importance, such a belief is imperative. Imperative. Then stress 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Yes, now, I say, now. For tomorrow... tomorrow what? Is promised to no one. Tomorrow may be too late. could be too late. Right? Again, tomorrow is promised to no one. Not one. That's so important. A lot of people think, well, maybe tomorrow, you know, leave it with me. I'll have some time next week. I got a few days off. No, get it in now. You stress the need for it to be now because tomorrow isn't promised to anyone. Next, stress again that if we ponder too long and the Lord returns, now that you know all about God's plan of salvation, you will be left behind to go through the tribulation. Stress that. In other words, now is the day of your salvation. Now. They might say, well, give me a call tomorrow. It might be too late. If the Lord returns in the rapture, you're going to miss, pardon the term, but you're going to miss the boat. Now is the time of salvation. You will be left behind to go through that tribulation, and that will not be something you would want to bear or try and bear. In other words, now is the day of your salvation. Now. Oh, I can't stop saying it enough because it's so important to put it off until tomorrow. Oh, no, that may not work. Now. No. Now. That there's certain hellfire waiting if you don't. If you don't. I was once saved. I was once asked, why do some men condemn the Bible? Well, because it goes against the grain of their lifestyle, first of all. Because the Bible, the Holy Bible, the 1611 King James Authorized Bible condemns them. The Word of God condemns us all. We can't just take Him for granted. We have to come to Him. We have to make a move on our own. Condemns them. Now, I want to go in the Bible here. I want you to bear with me for a little bit. Because I want to go, in the book of Hebrews, yes, Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to read verses 12 and 13, okay? Would you listen, please? Okay, here they come. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. You can read them for yourself afterwards, okay? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. With whom we have to do. Read it over again yourself. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Okay? Okay. Now, there's an old saying my mama used to quote when I was a young lad. It went something like this. Be careful what you pray for. You just might get it. Wow. Well, that's what I'm praying for. I hope I do get it. Of course, back then, I was thinking about maybe a new bicycle or something. Maybe she overheard me, and I was saying, oh, God, could I have a new bike? My old one's just gone to nowhere. And she says, be careful what you pray for. You just might get it. Hey, that's great. I'm going to keep on praying. But that's not what we're talking about here. We must pray for God's will in our lives. We must pray because Jesus Christ went to the cross, suffered and bled and died for our sins. We must pray. Throw ourselves at the foot of the cross. Believe in Him. Choose Him over everything else in your life. Okay? Be careful what you pray for. You might just get it. But if it's salvation, be thankful you do get it. I never quite understood what she really meant, my mom, until some years later after I had given my life over to Christ. Ma always said, if you want something bad enough, like a new snow sled or bike or something, or money to go to the movies, then you gotta pray real hard, every day, and without ceasing. It doesn't mean you have to close your eyes, like if you're driving down the road. Somebody asked that stupid question once. Anyway, it's something else. What it does mean is always be in an attitude of prayer. Hey, that's not so good, bad, is it? An attitude of prayer? In other words, be thinking about the things that God would have you thinking about. And then talk to Him. I mean, He knows what you're going to say anyway. But you got to say it. You got to mean it. To see, God looks upon the heart. You can't stand in front of Jesus on that day of decision making and say, well, if that's what I meant, I believe that you died on the cross. No, that won't work. He knows your heart. You can't deceive Him, but the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, He can know it. You see, God already knows our every need. But for your neighbors down the street, their daily works, some of them are in the coal mines. When I was a child, they were anyway. And some of them drank a lot. Why, they even said that he beats up on his wife, the odd person. Oh, after drinking that cruel old booze, that wine, that liquor. Well, are you prepared for them? Are you praying for them? And what about Aunt Mary, huh? My dear Aunt Mary, how I miss her. She was so instrumental in my life. She's just so free going. She just was everything that you'd want in a good person. And she said she believed in Jesus, too. But you know what? Her dialogue always gave her away that she wasn't as close as she thought. She just had a way of saying bad words, but making them sound like they were almost good and acceptable to God, but they weren't. Of course, I wasn't saved back then, but I remember the language, and it even run me down then when I wasn't saved. But that was the way she talked. She didn't have a good education, nothing like that, and she just said things and took the Lord's name in vain without actually meaning any harm by it. But you know, you can't do that. You just can't do that. I pray that one day I'll meet my Aunt Mary in heaven. I don't know. I wasn't with her during her last days. But she prayed all the time. And I never knew exactly what she prayed. No one ever told me what she said. But I told her one thing one day when I did hear her take the Lord's name in vain. I said, Mary, you just can't blaspheme God. And you know, when the cupboard, you know, it was hard times back then, when the cupboard's full and cozy up to Him when things are bad, you can't just say, I love you, thank you, God, for, you know, giving us all this food here and drink and stuff. And then when things get a little tougher, which they did a lot back then you just kind of gave up on them. Oh, well, you know, another day or better days are ahead. No. God ain't nobody's bellhop. He's not there just when you want Him. He's there because you need Him. And you must show. You must show that you need Him. Because He wants to be needed in your home, in your family, in your lifestyle. There's a good old song that some years ago that was called, it was still called today, but I recall it from some years ago. It's called A Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And that's what it's all about, folks. Like a bridge over troubled waters. You have to give yourself over to Christ. He is that bridge over troubled waters. It's all about laying down at the foot of the cross. It's you coming to Jesus when times are hard. Not just when times are good, but times are hard. And there ain't no place else to go. No place else to go. If this is you, or anyone you know, won't you come in through the front door? Huh? You see, there's no shame in letting people know that you're a child of the King. No shame at all. My friends, tell your friends, will you, that now is the accepted time of salvation. For tomorrow is promised to no one. To no one. There is none righteous. No, not one, not me, not you. Whether you're saved or not, there's none of us righteous. And sin cannot enter into the presence of God. If your sin isn't covered by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross, you can never enter into the presence of Almighty God. You can't work your way. You can't buy your way, you know. I used to be one of those people who used to think, well, you know, you do a lot of good deeds. A lot of good deeds, and, you know, God sees your good deeds, and He'll bless you, you know, when He has a place reserved for you in heaven. But you know what? No, that's not right. You have to believe in what happened at Calvary, what Jesus Christ did, because He is our propitiation for the sin of the world. We can't say, oh, well, I gave Mrs. Jones down the street a bag of groceries yesterday because her family was hungry. Therefore, God, that's good works. Good works will never save you. Good works comes from because you are saved. Have you got that? If you are saved, then you do good works. You want to do good works. But you don't do good works to get saved and say, well, I did a good deed today, so I'm going to relax tonight and have a few beer and just put my feet up and watch a movie. That's not going to get you anywhere with God. No. Get on your knees, sinner. Get on your knees and talk to Jesus. Tell Him how grateful you are for His dying for your sins on the cross. And you look forward to the day to seeing Him to glory. And you can't work your way. You can work till the bones showing in your fingers and your legs and everywhere else. And it's not going to get you to heaven. You can't buy your way either. No, you can't buy your way. A lot of rich people think they can. They save up all the money in the bank. And I know one rich guy. He put his money all in the bank, you know, and he only used what he had. And he said, well, the day I die, you can take all that money and you can give it to my church. Because I'll be in heaven and I won't need it. Ho, ho, ho. Where did he ever learn that? What you have in the bank. Hey, there's somebody that might need help with that. Give that some thought. Pray about it. What would God have you do with all that wealth? Huh? You can't buy your way to heaven. There is nothing outside of repentance whereby he may enter into the presence of a holy and righteous God. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Amen to that? Oh, yes. Amen to that. People, don't just think you're on your way to heaven. No, don't. Know it. Know it. Yes, you can be sure. A lot of people say, well, I don't know for sure if I am, but if I did enough good works, if I prayed enough, if I really believed, I don't know. Let me tell you this. Oh, yes, you will know. you will know. God will lay it on your heart, and you will know. And you will keep on knowing, day after day after day. Don't be caught with your faith down, friends. No, time is running out. It's running out very quickly, and only what's done for Christ will last. Have you got that? Only what's done for Christ will last. My friends, I took up a little bit of your time here today, and I hope it was well spent. I hope, first of all, that God is pleased with the words I brought forth here on the radio. But most of all, folks, I pray that your heart was open to what was said, and that if you have any doubts in your mind, you can contact me at Till He Comes. You know, I'm right there all the time. Just go to Battle Site for Christ and look me up and ask me any question you want. I'm not sure I'll give you the answer you want to hear, but I'll give you the answer as laid on my heart by a holy and righteous God. Okay? I'm not just here preaching away and saying, well, that's it, I did it, so it's up to them now. No, I'm not throwing you aside. I'm going to pray for you every day, as I've always been doing. Lost souls. I play a big part next to the little children in my heart. So, please, if you have any doubts or any questions, give us a call or send us a note through Facebook or, like I said, Battle Site for Christ. I'll be glad to hear from you. I'll be glad to answer any questions you have. Any. If I don't know the answer right away, I'll find it and I'll send it to you. Please. God's not willing that any should perish. Be sure of your salvation, will you? Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.